This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Y'all, boys, man. Keep hands on 2-1-2, man.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Could they be moving in the right direction, or is it just smoke and mirrors? We're going to find out about that next. It is Omar Kelly, Dan Day, Joe Rose Show on this January 2nd, 2026, 104.3 FM, WQAM. It is a feel-good Friday here on the Joe Rose Show. Joe Rose, Danny Rabinowitz, feeling good right now, probably in bed, sleeping. That means Omar Kelly and myself, Dan Day, making you feel irie on a Friday. And Omar, I want you to make me feel irie when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. I know there's a lot of reasons not to feel irie, but they did something. They brought in Troy Aikman as a consultant to find the next general manager. Is this just posturing, or is this actually something?
This is the first step at creating change and creating the culture and finding a good football person to put at the top of your organization. It's something that I fully believe is absolutely necessary and needed, because I had lost confidence in everybody in that organization, because I've learned and felt that people always wanted to put puppets in place so that they can control them. And that's really unhealthy, when what you really need is somebody with strong conviction, somebody with a strong belief, somebody with a great eye for talent. There are too many instances where we have drafted Chop Robinsons and Noah Igbinogheny's and Channing Tindall's and Cam Smith and lack the ability to see and identify, hey, great athletic traits for Chop Robinson, but no college productivity. This might be a problem. I don't want the athletic traits guy. I want a guy who produces on the college level. And I don't necessarily want a player who couldn't play at Maryland to go transfer to Penn State and then plays and doesn't really produce. This is not a hit job on Chop Robinson, but I don't think a real talent evaluator would have selected him as high as he was taken, because there's an unfinished product there. There's a guy who lacked the toughness to set the edge and still struggles with that, which explains why he's only started maybe 5 games in his NFL career for the last 2 years. Talent, quick twitch, good athletic ability, but where's the production? And so Aikman, and I support this move. Not only that, but I support the move of having Dan Marino on your search committee. I encourage you to go out and get more. Why is Zach Thomas, a man who lives and breathes the Miami Dolphins
in football
and football, not really football anymore, because he's Zach's day trading and riding his bike and raising his family. I know he wouldn't, you know, I know he wouldn't want to be involved in a day-to-day operations thing. But you tell, are you telling me that Zach Thomas wouldn't be able to identify a coach that can help and relate to players and motivate players? And that's what this, I'm sorry, I've been here for the Cam Camerons and the Joe Philbins and Adam Gases and the Brian Flores and the Mike McDaniels. And very early, I could tell you something was wrong with all of these guys. Cam Cameron, how could you interview him and think that he's a leader of men? Joe Philbin, how could you interview him and think that he's a leader of men? Adam Gase, I think, was able to lead men, but he didn't have any real productivity as an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yeah, he did a good job. Peyton Manning, do what you got to do, and I'll sit back, and if you need anything, let me know.
That's Peyton Manning.
Let me know what you need.
Yeah, like let me know what you need, Peyton. You need me to break down this film for you? Okay, I got you.
You need a brisk iced tea? I got you, man. Here you go.
And Jay Cutler, like, come on.
Yeah.
Brian Flores, there was just a personality quirk that, and I think we've all learned about the Bill Belichick disciples. I think we've all learned it's a rotten tree. And unfortunately, Steve Ross was the last to learn this. And,
Mike Vrabel.
But he played for Belichick. He didn't coach for Belichick. Okay. People don't realize that. He did not coach for Belichick. Rotten Tree. And then Mike McDaniel. Like him. I will testify on a Bible. He's an innovative coach. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I watch games and see things that Mike created that are copied and replicated in NFL on NFL teams. I saw a play in a bowl game. Utah did a play, a fake tight end blocking a screen and goes out to flare out and catch a touchdown pass. And I said, man, if Mike McDaniel sees that, he's going to not only incorporate it, but create five other plays off it. That's who Mike is. But leader of men, commander of a room, relatable guy. I think every player relates to him, which is why they can play for him. But can he inspire me? You can watch a Mike Tomlin press conference. You can watch a John Harbaugh press conference.
And don't leave Sean McVay out. Sean McVay.
Yeah. They got presence about them.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that Mike doesn't have is presence. And Zach Thomas would be able to bring that up in an interview room. So, but great that Dan's going to be in there. Great that Troy Aikman's going to be in there. And from what I'm hearing, Troy Aikman is in the mix. He's not a candidate to become the general manager or at the top of the organization. Troy Aikman makes $30 million doing TV.
Yeah.
Why would you want to work harder for one third the money?
Yeah.
So please, people, this is an effort to get closer to Steve Ross, so maybe you can be in some business connections when Ross is building his next city. You could be offered an opportunity to be in the deal. But Aikman has the connections.
That's what I was going to ask. What are his credentials that make him the right candidate for this job, for this search committee? I heard he's very well connected in the NFL, and he also has, the whole announcing, and he knows things. But is he the right guy to help find the right person or persons to be the general manager for the Dolphins?
He is. I was surprised, and maybe they have. I felt like when they fired Chris Greer, they should have been hiring a consultant long time
immediately.
Ago.
Yeah,
if they didn't hire a consultant, and that's part of the problem that Steve Ross has had. you need somebody connected, a consultant, to make those calls, make those connections, have those conversations. And that's why we got slapped with tampering for Sean Payton. A consultant should have been doing that for you. A consultant that you have, you don't have a text history with Sean Payton and his agent, tampering. Let the consultant tamper for you. So I'm glad that they're hiring a consultant for this search. He has traveled and been talking to, interviewing, knowing people in the NFL for probably 30 years. I've covered the NFL for 18 years, and guys that I've known as graduate assistants are now head coaches of college programs and head coaches of NFL teams. So imagine if I'm not even Troy Aikman. So you get those connections over 30 years of traveling and meeting with teams and organizations to broadcast games and sitting down with every head coach and sitting down and interviewing some of the great offensive coordinators, and you could tell who has presence and who doesn't. And so I'm pretty sure, just like I have a list, Troy Aikman has a list of people that Steve Ross should probably be able to sit down and talk to. And more importantly, he can make a call that can connect him with somebody who can tell him who is the next Cohen, who is the next, Stefanski, even though I'm not a huge Stefanski fan. Who is the next Mike Tomlin? And realistically, that's who Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh. I am. If those guys, one of those guys, get fired
immediately,
I'm full court precedent.
And you can tell Mike McDaniel, I'm sorry, but you got to go. We got to get this guy in there. I mean, that's another thing.
You got to figure out if you could close him first.
Right. I don't know. Still, might just do that altogether and figure it out afterwards. But what I want from Troy Aikman is not only, yes, he obviously has an eyeball. He obviously can get you in the room with anybody that you want to be in. But can he, maybe since he's an outsider coming in and then he's going to leave so he doesn't have this worry about tenure or holding his job, maybe he can go to Stephen Ross and help Stephen Ross get out of his own way and say, look, you can't sit down with these guys or girls and say, you need to keep a coach or you need to keep a quarterback. You need to unhandcuff them, because he's not beholden to Stephen Ross. Because, like I said, this isn't a long-term job. He's going to go back to working on TV and doing his thing. Can he possibly help this Dolphins organization get out of their own way sometimes?
You know what's interesting? When the news came out, the first thing I thought about was the fact that I personally believe, and I'm sure people will argue against me, but I personally believe that Troy Aikman's starch, hard criticism of Mike McDaniel in that Penn State game is part of the reason why Tua was benched. Because if you asked hard questions, I understood why they did not run an up-tempo offense. I had always worried about it, but Tua has led the team on game-winning drives. But there are instances in practice where they put up these situational periods. 4 minutes left in the game, you're trailing by 8. You need to score a touchdown, and the majority of the time in those situational periods, Tua would throw an interception to the cornerbacks because his out trying to get to the sideline wasn't thrown on a rope, or the cornerback. No, Tua was kind of mobile before this last two seasons. Let's put some respect on him. He was the number one high school dual threat quarterback in the nation at one point. So let's not disrespect him and say Tua couldn't move. Tua wasn't able to move anymore. And whether it's the hip injury or he blamed his ankles, I don't know. But I really don't think it was mobility. It was more, and I don't think it was the concussions. To me, it's more hip and it's more velocity on his throws. As it has been related to me, he's a pitcher who had lost his fastball. If they know you can't put it over the plate at 90 miles per hour, they stop looking for it. And that's the same thing with defenses. Defenses didn't need to come out of zone against Tua. And safeties didn't need to go past 40 yards because he wasn't throwing it past 40 yards. They could backtrack 15 yards and stop there and just watch everything in front of them because Tua wasn't throwing it over their head. Mm-hmm. Or if he was – actually, let me correct that. If he was throwing it over their heads, they were going to have an opportunity to recover because it wasn't getting there fast.
No.
So, or the receiver would have to kind of slow down,
which was very evident against the Chargers when Waddle got wide open and he had to come back for the pass a little bit. And Mark Schlereth was like, "And that's totally fine. That's totally fine as long as you don't overthrow him." We should have known right there something was wrong.
You know, it is what it is. But to finish the point, the fact that Aikman heavily criticized Mike McDaniel, which led to questions that Steve Ross had that led to the benching of Tua Tagovailoa, makes me feel like, hey, change is coming. And change is definitely healthy around here.
So we're going to take a break, Omar. We're going to talk about this change for the Miami Dolphins and what the Miami Hurricanes are doing right. I mean, it's a new year. It's new everybody, new everything. Hopefully, maybe for the Miami Dolphins, a new type of attitude that can get us a playoff win, maybe even more than that. And we'll discuss that next. Omar Kelly, Dan Day. This is a Joe Rose Show on 104.3 FM, WQAM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
About Maxine, your older say, I don't know what I know, but
murder she wrote. Riff. Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. It is actually the Leroy and Frog Boy Show on a Frog Boy Friday, a football Friday as well. We talked a little bit of Hurricanes earlier. Now to address the professional team in Miami Gardens. Your Miami Dolphins made a move yesterday, Leroy. Made a move to hire former Dallas Cowboy signal caller and ESPN analyst, Hall of Famer Troy Aikman. He is a consultant to advise the organization on its general manager search process. Leroy, what the hell does that mean?
Nothing.
All right. We're just giving them a check.
Well, here's what I would say. One of the things that is sometimes frustrating with the organization is I sometimes think that Stephen Ross's heart is in the right place and he wants to get advice.
Heart's in the right place.
To do the right things.
Yes.
However.
Always seeking advice.
Oh, right. And I think at some point he just either needs to go with somebody who he really trusts.
He did.
Not that people have suggested that he bring into the organization.
Yeah.
Because it seems like for years somebody has kind of hinted at a person that could help and he's brought them in.
Yeah.
And because he's loyal, that person has been in the organization for a really long time. I think he should hire and bring more people in that have a vested interest in the success of the organization. being that people that have been down here sweating with him, you know, through these tumultuous times, instead of bringing a new voice in that might not necessarily understand, one, why the organization has struggled and what has been the issues down here. Like, you could bring in somebody else to give you a very qualified coach, right? A coach that, you know, that Troy Aikman may suggest that knows, there's one hell of a coach, knows how to run an organization and what have you. But if you think about somebody who's been around here, they're also going to have their hand on what has gone wrong over the years and what has, you know, what the struggles have actually been. So you could bring in a new coach, but you still got to fix how the team is put together, what type of players you bring in, what you have to get away from that has, and in December and January have been, you know, the team struggles. Somebody who's closer to it would maybe have a better understanding of that and say, you know what? Maybe we don't go out and get this high-powered wide receiver. Maybe we get a D lineman. Maybe we get us a solid offensive lineman.
So maybe why the hell did we hire Troy Aikman then?
Huh? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
So this is bizarre to you. And
it's not here. It's not bizarre to handle the questions you have about coach. But it is bizarre in handling the question about how to turn the team around.
I think Mike McDaniel is staying because he was brought in to advise for the GM search. And I have heard rumblings that Ross, you know, Ross already has a problem firing someone. He already fired one guy. He's never been the guy to clean house. And as much as people would benefit from Mike McDaniel no longer being the head coach as well or as not well as you think he's done, I think he's staying next year. So with that being said, what the hell are we doing with Troy Aikman? Is this another Bill Parcells? Are we just giving this guy money because he has a name?
Again, I don't know what his role is going to be. If he's helping decide on the coach, if he's helping decide on the GM.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, and people need to understand, it's not about who. It's about what. It's about what that person is going to do to turn it around. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that can be really good GMs, but there's not a bunch of guys that understand what this team needs.
See, and
what this organization needs to turn it around. And I think that's more important than just having a guy who's an excellent GM. If he doesn't understand, okay, what's going on the last 5-6 years? Why haven't we been able to get over the hump? Why haven't we been able to do this? And be able to fix that, then it doesn't matter. Because if another guy comes in and he wants to build the team like he thinks the team needs to be built without fully understanding what this team needs at those moments in time, then you're going through another cycle.
It says that this is not a permanent role. He'll just be an advisor throughout the process for the Dolphins' next GM. And it will not affect his job as a Monday Night Football analyst this season. This is a part-time job. This guy got a little part-time job. He's,
You know what another word for part-time is?
Yeah.
Advisor.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That means just a phone call.
So we're hey. Just, yeah, I'll take a call.
So.
This is ridiculous.
You know, I get, everybody says because of Greer. Oh, okay, but Greer wanted to build the team a certain way. He had a boatload of resources.
He failed.
Right? To do, and what ends up happening is when you have a lot of resources and you don't spend those resources wisely, it becomes a temporary fix. Whereas if you look at some of the teams who have had sustainability,
yeah,
they have built it a certain way and continued on building it, you know, that way. Just look at somebody like Detroit. And I know Detroit struggled this year because they've been banged up for the last 2 years. But if you look at somebody like Detroit, they went into it with a basic fundamental plan. And that was, we're going to get tougher, we're going to build offensive line, we're going to build defensive line, we're going to run the hell out of the football, right? All the other pieces that they got, they weren't intentionally going out to get, but they ended up drafting stars in the draft, not using top picks. You understand what I'm saying? So Amon St. Brown, what round was he? I'm going to say third?
I don't even know.
When you look at...
See how fast I type?
Huh?
See how fast I type? Yeah. Fourth round.
Fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you look at all of their top draft picks, yeah, they were on the offense and defensive line.
Yeah, Penei Sewell, guy to Michigan, Aiden?
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you look at, like, and so...
Built a run game.
Dolphins, what the Dolphins have done over the years, they almost went the opposite way.
Yeah, totally.
So there you go. So, like, there's a way. And look, if you want to know how successful teams build program, I'm going to just say this. As much as you sometimes wonder about Mario's game time stuff, the way that team is built is you're going to be able to play football this time of year. Evident about how they play football this time of year. It is no secret. Like, yeah, you can have a great quarterback and he can cover up for some of the other things. But if you look at the teams that have sustained, you know, excellence, and that means that every year they're competing for either a playoff spot or a championship at any level. The one constant in all of that is offense and defensive line. And that's nothing new to football. And for people to think we can do it differently, you might be able to do it differently for a minute.
So,
but the long-term sustainability is usually, you know, around that fact, that we're going to build this team offense and defensive line. We're going to be good up front. We're going to get after the quarterback. And then we're going to build around that.
All right. Now, are you free for a phone call potentially next Tuesday, Leroy? Because I'll pay you $10 million to say that if you're Troy Aikman. Because if he's not saying that, then what the hell are you even doing?
But I would think, and to be fair, I would think a guy that played with Dallas and played with one of the greatest offensive lines ever assembled,
yeah,
and that had that defense with that defensive line, I would think that he would understand that more than most.
Maybe. Or maybe he's like, you know, they couldn't have done it without me. You should get a quarterback. You never know what this guy's thinking. I hope right.
Like, for the people that say if we have a quarterback, we have a chance, okay?
Got to protect them.
I give you Joe Burrow.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, there's other pieces to it. There's other pieces to having this thing go in the right direction. There's other things that go into it by just saying, oh, we got our quarterback, we can win. That's not an accurate statement.
I agree. I agree that we need to do it the way you mentioned it. I just hope Troy Aikman agrees.
What I'm saying is nothing new.
No, it's not. Because, I mean, you know, obviously, football, but you're close to the situation, which is what you were suggesting they should have done with it. They needed any advisors or anything like that. Now we're just hoping that Troy Aikman sees it the same way you see it, Leroy. Or like
now, here's the problem. Whoever gets the GM job,
yeah,
the things that I talk about are not the priority. The priority is getting your money right.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
There's
going to have to be some decisions made that have nothing to do about what I just talked about to just get you in line with being able to make those moves after.
Absolutely.
Now, whatever has to happen then, I don't know how they're going to accomplish that. You got a lot of guys that are making a lot of money. You got Tua making 50. You got Waddle making 30. You got Tyreek making 30. Right? You think about that. That's $110 million.
I say we get those three off the books. Against your cap. Can we get those three off the books? Is that possible? Raiders need a quarterback or they need a Tyreek Hill.
Here's what I would say. It's a little bit different for Tyreek. I don't think he has any guaranteed money left.
Vikings need a quarterback.
But I would say when guys have those years and you have to be careful with how you do it, you can restructure some of these deals. Absolutely. How can I put this? You don't want to restructure Tua's contract. Hmm. Simply because if you restructure it, that means he's here for more years.
True.
Okay. And if you're going to make that decision, you don't want to have more years because you stretched out $20 million. Jalen Waddle, I don't know what the terms of his contract are. You might be able to do something with that. So you could easily get that $110 million down to $60 million if all parties are, you know, a lot of times players know. Players know, man, the year I just had, I'm going to get that knock. Hey, let's talk about it, right? You know that. So those parts of it, I'm not fully up on the contracts and what could be done or who would even be willing to do it. A lot of times guys will say, hey, I think I could go make this money somewhere else. No, I'm not renegotiating. You either cut me and let me go make my money elsewhere or whatever.
No.
Now, that's not the case in most cases. In most cases, guys want to, see it through. But that's not. Two is a whole different situation. No. Like the other guys, if you redo their contracts, you can bring them back. But if you redo Two's contract, that means you got them for another year or two. See what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, there's a lot of things that whoever gets the job, before they even make a decision on a draft or who's going to get drafted or whatever, they got to make all these decisions on basically what's going to happen to the roster. How are we going to, what are we going to do with all this money we got out there? And so from that standpoint, we talk about the draft and bringing guys in or whatever. The most important thing for the new GM is trying to figure out how we're going to get this money into a place where we can go out and do stuff. That's going to be the hardest thing to do. And then you got January, June 1st. You got what it means to do it before June 1st, after June. I'm not even going to claim to know about all of the machinations that go behind when and how and what a guy can do. But again, I can talk about the players and how the team can be built, but the first things that have to happen is you got to get your money right.
Fix that money.
Right. And so that is going to be the job, the overall number one job of whoever starts running the organization.
Well, we will continue to brush up on our contract machinations and more as we come back for hour two of the Tobin and Leroy Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Miami Heat have won 4 straight. The Florida Panthers are about to play in a spectacle here at Lone Depot Park. But we have the Miami Dolphins season finale coming up on Sunday, 4:25 p.m. kickoff in Foxborough against the New England Patriots. Patriots have something to play for. The Miami Dolphins do not. They're eliminated from the playoffs. We know that. But there's still a lot going on with the Miami Dolphins. Do you think they have a chance in that game? There's a lot of question marks in terms of status, health, Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle questionable. Jordan Brooks is going to give it a go. But do you think this team with Quinn Ewers quarterbacking them has the ability to go into Foxborough and beat a New England Patriots team that, again, has something to play for?
A repeat of 19, when Ryan Fitzpatrick went in there, hit Mike Gesicki to not eliminate, but cost the Patriots the one seed. They had to then lose in the playoffs in that first round. Tom Brady threw the pick against the Titans. I'd like to say they do have a chance because of how the game went down here early in the season, but that was obviously so long ago. The motivations are different for each side. It's going to be cold up there. Are the guys in the Dolphins roster just trying to get through the game and get home, while the Patriots are obviously, you know, Drake May's playing for an MVP. They're playing for the one seed. So I think there are those things you have to consider, not just like the on-the-field stuff. I don't see the Dolphins doing this on Sunday. I don't. And then again, not that it really matters in the grand scheme of things. I just think, as you said, they're a bit banged up. And with everything the Patriots are playing for and everything the Dolphins are not, the mindset and the mentality is just different for both teams come week 18. So I think this one might be a nice cruise control game for New England.
Well, most people agree with you because it was 9.5, then it was 10.5. Now the Dolphins are 11-point dogs on the road. Part of that is some of the players on the injury report or that will be on the injury report or have been. No Minkah Fitzpatrick.
That's the Darren Waller
the
news, right?
Right. Darren Waller moving to IR again. Is it the third time this season? He started the season on IR, came back, had an unbelievable game on Monday Night Football against the New York Jets, played one more, went on IR, came back, had another multi-touchdown game, and here we are ending the season on IR. Fitting end to the season for Darren Waller. But what are your thoughts on Quinn Ewers in that Buccaneers win? I know we talked about it after his first start, which did not go well for the Miami Dolphins, but that Bucs win, I don't know, I came away feeling not like the Dolphins found the answer for the future, but he looked composed. He looked like somebody who belonged, at the very least, under center and could position himself to be back next season, maybe if he has another strong start this upcoming Sunday.
I think he's back next season regardless, and I think he'll have a chance to win the job. It all depends, though, if they maneuver a trade for like a Mac Jones or if they sign Malik Willis, then maybe he's on the outside looking in to start. But I think at the very least, he's positioned himself to be the backup to whoever they bring in or compete for the starting job next year. I don't want to make these like huge judgments after two games, but I think the phrase, he looked like he belonged, I think that's the perfect way to describe what we've seen from Quinn Ewers the last 2 weeks. And especially against the Bucs, he looked confident. The ball was coming out on time. The throw over the middle to Dulcich was a great read. The ball to Weiss, looking off the defender, almost a no-look deep ball to Weiss, who he had great chemistry with in the preseason. There are certainly a lot of encouraging things. He protected the ball well against a struggling Tampa Bay team. And that was a game that meant something, and he played really well. And I think when you have a guy in Ewers who played at a lot of big games at Texas, obviously the NFL is a different level. But, I mean, he's been in big spots before, and it doesn't seem like a lot of things really rattled him. He's very even keel, and I like that in the quarterback. And, like, how refreshing was the third down scramble for a first down,
so
and
good.
The swag getting up afterwards
so good.
With the celebration? I really liked what I saw from
Quinn. He needed to do that, by the way.
For sure.
In that moment, if he threw for the first down, it would have been fine, and I don't think we would have felt drastically different. But the fact that he was able to show everybody, hey, I can put my head down and I can go get 5-8 yards, whatever it was, for a first down. I can use my feet, and I'm not afraid to take contact.
Right.
That you know, for whatever reason, that play right there was huge. Can we definitively say benching Tua Tagovailoa was now the right decision? No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, I don't think it was like right or wrong. Like, it's clear where that relationship was heading, and if they wanted to get a look at Quinn Ewers and what he looked like, then yeah, it's the right decision. If you're moving on from Tua Tagovailoa after this, then yeah, it's the right decision. But I also like, if they kept him starting, it also, like, I don't think that would be the wrong decision either because of what they're paying him and you know, his track record with the team. I honestly applaud them a bit for, you know, taking that stand and making that decision. for games that don't matter, given the way that Tua Tagovailoa had played and given the clear direction that this relationship was heading in. I give the Dolphins credit for making what was probably a really hard decision and giving Quinn Ewers a shot. I was never a big believer in Quinn Ewers being a guy that could start games and win games for you consistently. He's a seventh-round pick. He was a good college quarterback, but I never really saw that translating to the league. You admitted you were wrong in the first segment. I'd love to admit I'm wrong about Quinn Ewers, and so far, he's been a lot better than I ever expected him to be.
Before the show, you and I were just kind of discussing the Dolphins had gone out. They signed or they poached Cam Miller off the Raiders practice squad. And you had mentioned that you had heard Hawk and I kind of discussing this. I don't remember if it was Tuesday or maybe it was yesterday on New Year's Day. And neither of us could really figure out, like, what's the play here? Why, going into the final week of the season, are you poaching this random quarterback from North Dakota State off another team's practice squad who's never actually taken a snap in the NFL? But you had a different take on it. Like, we were just kind of confused at the whole thing. I mean, whatever. You know, you take a flyer and a guy. The fact that they elevated him, though, was really, I think, the part that we found interesting, a little bizarre, really. Like, okay, you bring him in.
Pretty active, yeah.
But to activate him to the 53-man roster, it's obvious Zach Wilson has no shot at getting into a game. Tua's not playing. We know that. What was your take on that?
Well, I don't think that it's really about this week. Zach Wilson's not going to be on the team next year. The likelihood of Tua Tagovailoa being on the team next year doesn't seem like it's very high. So you're going to go into the offseason, before they signed Cam Miller, with one quarterback, and that's Quinn Ewers. This way you get another guy who was drafted last year in the sixth round, put up great numbers at North Dakota State, won a national championship there, I believe broke some of Carson Wentz's records for the Bison before coming to the NFL. Greg Olsen, the quarterback's coach for the Raiders, was not happy that he got poached from that organization. They were really high on him. Tom Brady, I was reading, was really high on him. And for me, this is so that they have another guy in the system going into the offseason into next year, where you're looking at a potential quarterback room of Cam Miller, who's on a rookie contract cheap, Quinn Ewers, rookie contract cheap, and then if they draft a guy or they sign a Malik Willis or they trade for a Mac Jones, those are the three guys you're rolling with next season. That's kind of how I interpret it, as a move for the offseason going into next season. Because there's no way that he's going to be able to play on 1 week's notice if Quinn Ewers gets hurt. He's not going to play this weekend. This move, at least to me, was not about this weekend.
But does it make you feel any different, the fact that Mike McDaniel has this ability to kind of go out, find another quarterback, activate him to the 53-man roster, sign a player, despite, you know, it's one thing if Tua had been down, Zach Wilson was banged up in practice, you go and you do that move. I mean, your quarterback room, the guy that they signed, they gave $6 million for to be the backup, the guy that they drafted who's now starting, and the guy that was the franchise's highest-paid player, is the franchise's highest-paid player, are all healthy. They're all able to play. Mike McDaniel making that move, does that make you feel any different about his future? The fact that he has that ability to go do that, or, hey, I mean, it's still the regular season, and he's the coach, and he likes that decision, and that's what they went and did.
You know, I heard, I can't remember if it was Omar or if it was somebody else who was saying, basically nothing had happened here when Chris Greer was a general manager without the head coach's approval. Whether it was Brian Flores and drafting Tua Tagovailoa, whether it was how the roster was built for Mike McDaniel, and I had heard some of the same stuff. It's a collaborative process. Chris Greer ran the organization like that from a personnel side. So maybe they're still doing it the same way now, but like, I don't think that it's that deep when it comes to signing a sixth-round rookie quarterback off a practice squad from the Raiders before the last week of the season. I don't. It's hard for me to say one way or the other whether or not this is something that is indicative for Mike McDaniel or not indicative for Mike McDaniel's future. It could just be this is a big picture signing. Someone who is cheap, they're going to have three quarterbacks next year, and someone who maybe they think they can develop regardless of whether it's Mike McDaniel or Champ Kelly or whoever running things.
Well, it's a 4-year contract for Cam Miller, as you mentioned, super cheap. Troy Aikman now. Let's get to that move, because we were all in the boat, and I think you had agreed with us. If you're Stephen Ross, don't make a decision, and it was Barry Jackson who had written this in the Herald, we were reading it, don't make a decision on Monday, on what's known as Black Monday. Don't make that decision. Take a bit of a break, sit back, reflect on everything, and then make a decision. Bringing in Troy Aikman does what for you? Like, when you saw that news yesterday, I think it was Schefter who broke it.
Yep.
Was that something where you say, oh, good, there's a football mind I respect. helping out this process and has been helping, by the way. This clearly has been in the works for a while now. Does it move the needle for you at all?
I don't think that, like, it's as big of a thing. I've seen some negative reaction to it, and, like, I don't see this as anything more than a highly respected football mind who's got a ton of connections around the league coming in to advise this search. I think there really is no downside to it, in my opinion. And part of me wonders, and I saw some others point this out, Troy Aikman had very pointed criticism for the Dolphins operation on the field in that Monday night game against the Steelers. And part of me, and I know there are others out there, because it's been said, I wonder how much that has to do with what he said. If Stephen Ross was like, wait a second, that makes sense, and I want to hear more from this guy, and I want more of his input as we move forward with some pretty big decisions we have to make as an organization. It almost reminded me in a way of when Kirk Herbstreit lit up the University of Miami athletic program on College Game Day, and then all of a sudden things change and all this money's pouring in and the Canes are getting the resources they didn't have before. So part of me wonders if there was some of that aspect at play here. I think it could only be positive. Troy Aikman is highly respected, beloved around the league, and I don't see what the possible downside to this is. Now, I saw CK, I want to give credit here. I saw CK Parrott, that's his Twitter handle, Chris Kaufman from 3 Yards Per Carry, on Twitter talking about this. Brandon Shore, one of the Dolphins executives who's been here for a long time, seems to be heading up this process. And Chris was pointing out the Dolphins need to be careful in how they message this search publicly, because it could come off like this is just a general manager in name only, if Brandon Shore is still the one overseeing everything and making these decisions. Obviously, none of us know what it'll entail when they do make the GM hire, if Brandon Shore is just going to be an executive above, but the general manager is still going to be the decision maker. That could still be the case, but I did raise some antennas for Chris Kaufman from 3 Yards Per Carry, who I think does a phenomenal job with his Dolphins coverage.
Yeah, he does. Brandon Shore, people thought if Chris Greer was going to get fired, he would be the interim GM. Like, Champ Kelly kind of came out of nowhere. Remember, Steve Ross hired him earlier in 2025. It was after last season he brought him in. I was under the impression he'd be the interim GM if that time came. And it ended up being Champ Kelly, which, by the way, I like. Somebody with a different perspective, almost like an outsider's perspective, who wasn't necessarily working side by side with Chris Greer for whatever the last couple years. It's going to be interesting. This move, though, in my opinion, makes me feel a little bit better in the sense of Stephen Ross approaching this the way I want him to, which is clean house. Like, it's time to start anew. And I'm cool. We've thrown out the Lamar Jackson scenario. We've thrown out the Joe Burrow scenarios. Again, I don't know how realistic those are.
Money's going to make that tough.
100%. But if it's a possibility and he wants to go all in on something like that, again, I'm cool with that. But if not, again, highly unlikely, start completely new. Clean the slate. And if that means next year kind of operating from a loss already, taking that one step back to try to just clean the books and put yourself in a better position moving forward, I'm cool with that, because I don't want, and he called it the status quo last year, I don't want to fall back into that trap where you feel like, maybe the last 6 to 8 weeks of this season was a little bit closer to putting us in a position to compete, and we're not that far away. Like, I don't want to fall into that trap anymore, that rabbit hole, because we know the truth. This team's far away from competing.
They're not only it'd be one thing if the Dolphins were they had a bunch of cap space, and this was like they're finally gelling at the end, and you could add to this. No, this is like the maxed out version of this roster with all the money that they've spent between Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey and Bradley Chubb and Tua Tagovailoa and all these guys. Like, this is the end result of the previous rebuild. 2027 is the year. 2026, maybe they'll go 500 again, or they'll be a pesky team. But 2027 is the year where they can really start to reset things. If Champ Kelly ends up being the guy, would you be okay with that? Because he's been a guy who's been interviewed for other GM jobs before, and he's been a popular name around the league.
I told Hawk this on Monday. Just vibes. Just pure vibes. I thought He's high-fiving everybody. He's dapping up everybody on the sideline. Clearly, he has some camaraderie with the players inside that locker room. He looks the part, in my opinion, just the vibe he comes
looks
off
good
with.
In a sport coat.
I thought for sure Stephen Ross was just going to announce him as the next general manager. Again, I think context matters here. He hired him last year. He almost hired him to kind of oversee the entire front office and what was going on. And he could have gone with somebody who had been there and was closer to Chris Greer, understood the inner workings of the organization. Instead, went with somebody who was an outside hire to kind of oversee the end of this season. He has experience as an interim GM. Like it, I just don't know. I don't know enough about the guy. He really hasn't done anything.
It would be funny if they hire Troy Aikman to come on and advise a search, and this wide-ranging search, and they brought in Troy Aikman, and the end result is just, we're going to keep Champ.
It would be the most Stephen Ross thing.
Which, again, I don't think that necessarily is a bad decision if that's what happens. I just think the optics of it are really funny. And taking a step back for a second, Stephen Ross loves a name as an advisor.
He does.
Think back to the Bullygate committee. I forget what the committee was actually called, but he had Tony Dungy and a couple of other big names from the NFL on it. Now we're bringing Troy Aikman in to advise on the GM search. Stephen Ross loves a name advisor.
Loves a name, period. Just loves
true.
The name.
Yeah.
Josh Appel, Solana, we're taking you up until 6 p.m. Still a lot to get to on the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana show. Again, we are live from Lone Depot Park.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back here for the 8 o'clock hour. Let's really dive into the Miami Dolphins a little bit. Kyle Krabs from Locked On Fins podcast joins us this morning. Kyle, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Appreciate it. Hope you had a great Christmas and got some time off to be with your family for New Year's. But we appreciate you spending some time with us. Hey, let's jump right into it. What have you seen from Quinn Ewers through the first two games? Are you ready to give him a chance to start next year? Do we still need a franchise quarterback? How do you feel about what you've seen?
I think Quinn's, through the first two starts, been further ahead than what I would have expected and what my expectations were. And I'm encouraged by what he's shown. And a couple of things that stand out to me include, I think the decision-making's been really on point. I don't think he's put the ball in harm's way other than that shot to Waddle on the second interception that they had in the game against Cincinnati. I like some of the aggressiveness, and I'm really impressed with the way he's using his eyes. You know, he talked about that touchdown pass to Theo Weiss and kind of understanding how they're rolling coverage and understanding the value of his helmet stripe. And if it's pointed at the guy that's running the out route from number two, that corner's going to pin down, and I can put it over the top of him. And you know, manipulating zone defenders as a seventh-round rookie is it's not bad. Now, as far as how many eggs you put in that basket, I certainly think you need competition. But if you told me you're going into next offseason with a guy you sign in free agency or a guy that you draft, I would let that be an open competition, and it would be no holds barred for me.
All right, Kyle, where do you get the competition? That's sort of, all roads lead to that question, as they have for a couple decades here.
Right. And I think the potential answers could go through any number of the different avenues the Dolphins have tried over the years. Whether that's trading for a Mac Jones, whether that's signing a Malik Willis in free agency, whether that's finding the right guy in the draft. I think the one thing the Dolphins are ill-positioned to do is to trade the farm to make a splash in the draft to go up and get a quarterback in the top three. I just don't – I think this roster has too many needs. You're just coming out of a period in which you didn't have a lot of draft capital to add to the team. And I think that, paired with who the guys are at the top of this year's class, It'd be a really tough sell for me to kind of mortgage the farm to go up and get a young guy, because I think this roster really needs that infusion of picks.
Hey, so I want to ask about your thoughts about coming back with a starting five on this offensive line, or do you want to see – I'm not saying you always want to add depth, but Patrick Paul, Savianaya, Brewer, Strange, and Jackson. How would you feel if I said that starting five was coming back next year?
I'd like to know who your utility interior player was, because I think Cole's gotten better throughout the course of this year and really settled in. When you remind yourself he was picked up off waivers like September 9th and was starting by week four. So he's got a pretty good pedigree. He's a good scheme fit for the system. So if you're bringing back Mike next year, I think the continuity is a really good thing, because it's been a thing the Dolphins have not had a lot of along the offensive line for a really long time. I worry about who your utility tackle or who your swing tackle is and who your utility interior player is, because I think in a perfect world, Cole Strange would be the guy they signed Liam Eichenberg to be this year. And then Liam obviously had whatever issues he's had, and we haven't seen if he's been on the pup list all season. And then the Austin Jackson thing is the durability questions being what they are. Are you bringing back Larry Borum, who I think did pretty well to hold his head above water? If you're not bringing back Larry, I think you need somebody that's a pretty reasonable investment that could potentially be a starter for an extended period because of Austin's history.
All right, Kyle, you got a $212 million bench warmer right now. Where do you go with Tua's situation in this offseason and moving forward to make it as painless as possible at this point?
Yeah, I think that's a very tricky proposition to make it painless, right? Because as you said, David, it's a monumental amount of money, and I think that the best avenue for the Dolphins is to make a decision pretty early on about, you know, what is the amount, dollar amounts that we're willing to eat on the contract, and whatever that number is, shop it, see what you can get in the way of any kind of interest. Trading him realistically is not really going to be an option until after June 1st. So I think if you're going to move on, it would probably behoove you to just kind of make your decision. You do have $3 million in guarantees for 2027 that activates the first week of the league year in March. So if you know that he's off and you don't, if you shop it and you don't really feel like you're going to have a market, you know, ask yourself, do you want to lock in another $3 million for a buyout next year to hold this thing out and draw it out, right? Like, I think that's the really difficult part. It's not a monumental amount of money, but you're still signing yourself up for potentially more sunk cost. And if you don't feel like you're going to have any market, no matter how much of the contract you're going to eat, designate them as a post-June 1st cut. They have a little bit of flexibility as far as, you know, they could technically restructure and change a portion of that salary into a reworked signing bonus and push more of it to 26 if you need operating cap, or to 27 if you need operating cap in 26. But, you know, it's probably going to be designated post-June 1st cut would be my guess on what the resolution of this and just move on. I think it'd be better for all parties that way.
I'm not looking to take shots at him. I know everybody's been dogpiling on him since he got benched, but does he have any value to any teams? Are there any teams they're going to take on the same problems and concerns that we've had here? Who's interested in him at this point?
Well, I think the luxury that you have if you're a team that's looking to trade for Tua Tagovailoa is, you know, you're going to be getting him at an at-cost discount versus what his contract is, because the Dolphins would have to eat a significant portion of the salary. And there's only a $3 million – like, if you trade for him, you only have a $3 million buyout. So if you were to trade for Tua on a $10 million contract because you struck out in the draft, hypothetically – and then you get to June, and the Dolphins eat 42 of the salary, and you could trade for them on and know, hey, we don't really have a lot of guarantees here that we have to work with, and it's a reasonable cost for a one-year bridge for a team that maybe has pressure to compete and wants somebody to execute an offense. Maybe you could get a bite. But it's going to be a really specific set of conditions, and it's certainly not going to be something that I think would materialize for them until after the draft comes and goes and teams get an idea of if they struck out on trying to add somebody that they feel like could compete in the draft in what's already kind of a limited quarterback class.
You You've heard this people talking about HN and the new contract, which obviously he's worth as a former third-round pick out of Texas A&M and in last year his contract here coming up.
Yep.
You give it to him or, hey, money, and we don't give out those contracts like we used to. Things are a little different around here right now, and you play a running back position, or do you take care of the guy that's clearly been the best player on your team?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting decision that whoever your next general manager is gets to make, is kind of redefining the way that the Dolphins do business. Because the Dolphins, at least in this past regime, have been squeaky wheels get the grease, right? And squeaky wheels also get paid. And the second you start squeaking, you get a new contract, right? That's kind of been the status quo. So I think the thing that Dolphins have working for their favor, if they wanted to slow play Devon Achane's contract decision, is the running back franchise tag is a very team-friendly rate if you needed it for 2027. And that's not a position in which the salary is scaling at the same rate in which the salary cap is scaling. Like, you've got some positions into your offensive line. You're seeing offensive guards go out in free agency now and get $18, $19 million a year. Robert Hunt got $20 million a year 2 years ago.
Right.
Like, that's a significant leap. Running backs have been much more kind of stagnant. They've been stuck in the teens unless you're Saquon Barkley. And I think that's something that, you know, Devon, if you're always worried about, if you put off a contract extension, it's going to cost you more in the long run. But at the running back position, the inflation rate, I think, is limited, that if you wanted to kind of take your time and say, look, we're not really doing big deals in 2026. There's a few guys that I think would be worth it, and Achane would be on the list for me. But if you wanted to take your time, I don't think that would bite you in the rear end too much.
All right, Kyle, you brought up the number one topic before we get into the weeds with all the stuff we've been talking about money. Who's going to be making the decisions around here? What would you hope plays out, or what would you hope the basis of the decision is?
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that we get to next Monday and we start getting reports, because obviously fans have had questions to me about why are they just going to let Champ Kelly run this thing? What's the deal with the interviews? Teams can't conduct formal interviews and request interviews for employees for other teams until after the regular season ends. So, like, next Monday is kind of the opening of the window. And I'm really hopeful that you will see kind of a methodical drip of names for interviews that the Dolphins are holding, because it would indicate to me that they took advantage of the jump start that they got on their information and fact-finding on candidates. And I'd like to see a comprehensive series of interviews, whether those are virtual at first and then in-person, or if you just have really comprehensive in-person interviews. I want to see a pretty good representation of candidates that the Dolphins request and hold interviews with. And then, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's really hard from the outside in to make a judgment on what fuels those decisions. But I'd like to see something that doesn't draw out until the end of January, right? Like, you're in a really pivotal window for making some decisions on some players and deciding what you're doing with Mike McDaniel, all that stuff. So I would just like to see kind of a coordinated, organized, methodical effort to interview candidates and then make your decision. And then we hope they make the right one.
Let's talk about the quarterback class. One of those guys going to be playing down here, Oregon to Texas Tech in Orange Bowl, Thursday, 12 o'clock start.
Yeah.
How do you like this quarterback class, and how deep is it if the Dolphins were to go that route and try to find a quarterback early?
Yeah, I think your options for early in the draft is pretty limited. I really like Moore from Oregon. He's my favorite one out of the group. Fernando Mendoza, I think, has a lot of appeal. Super intelligent player, has kind of the prototypical build, can move a little bit, has a pretty strong arm. Those are the two guys that I think, if you're asking and setting the over-under at how many quarterbacks go in the first round, it's probably 2.5, and the odds would favor the under, and it would be those two guys. Wow. To get somebody else, you'd need, like, Ty Simpson from Alabama to come out. but he's not a guy that's got a great deep ball. He's not a guy that's got great physical traits. He's got 1 year of starts under his belt, so he's a really limited starter experience. Like, there's a lot of traditional flags that would cause you to hit pause on drafting a guy like that early on his resume. And he kind of faded down the stretch. Now, he was pretty good in the first playoff game, but he started really hot and then faded the last month of the regular season for Alabama. So that's kind of where you see the Raiders and the Giants doing what they're doing with sitting everybody for the chance for the number one pick, because the Giants know they could get a King's ransom if they get the number one pick, and the Raiders know if we're not going to get many cracks. And if the team that's in, if the Giants end up in front of us, it might cost us a lot to just play defense to get the quarterback that we want and do a trade with the Giants. So it's pretty limited in that regard.
So plan B for a quarterback, the guys out there who are, you know, you mentioned Mac Jones, you mentioned Malik Willis fascinates me. And I talked to a guy in the league this last weekend, and I said, what about him? And they said he's going to cost $30 million, north of $30 million.
Really? That much?
I was maybe not stunned, but a little sticker shock. First of all, could the Dolphins even do that with their situation? I mean, they're going to, like you said, they're going to need somebody, and I've written they need to go out and get a potential franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
But where do they, is Malik Willis in play for them?
I think Malik Willis deserves strong consideration for Miami, but if the price point's north of 30, that's where I would have a hard time. And it's Sam Darnold was just on the open market last year, won 13 games in Minnesota, passed for 4,000 yards and 35 touchdowns, and he got $33 million a year. Mm. So if Malik Willis has 155 career pass attempts and he's pushing 30 and somebody wants to offer that to Malik, I tip my cap to that team.
What do you think?
There's some desperate teams out there for quarterbacks.
I was shocked. But what do you think a contract for him would be fair?
So I look at what the Jets just gave to Justin Fields this past year, which was 2 years for $40 million total with $30 million guaranteed across two seasons. I think you maybe do the cap goes up about 10% every year. If you were going to do a cap adjustment off of that contract, I think that's probably the ballpark where I think it acknowledges the starter upside, because Fields was signed to be the starter in New York and be a potential swing of the bat for a franchise guy. It obviously didn't work out, but he had a first-round pedigree. He had great physical traits. But there were some questions. I think that's the kind of ballpark for me. And Miami could certainly accommodate that, because they've been on a two-year downturn as far as what their cash spending is. And this will be the first year since 2019, based on kind of the contracts that they have and offloading and their cap situation, I would expect that they're going to spend less cash than the salary cap ceiling is. You know, teams like to spend 10% above the salary cap on an annual year, because you can spread out the hits over a five-year window, and you kind of have this rolling debt, and the inflation of the cap kind of off-puts how you're deferring it into future years. So I think that's for Miami, cutting the salary of guys like Tyreek Hill, potentially Bradley Chubb, maybe Austin Jackson or James Daniels, as you know, James Daniels is owed about $8 million next year.
Goodbye, right? James Daniels. Goodbye. Yeah.
So guys like that, they could find themselves in the bottom eight of the NFL in cash spending in 2026 to kind of get their salary cap books rebalanced. And if it dips that low, if you're talking about a 2 year, $40 million contract for a swing of the bat of a guy like Malik Willis, I think you can take that on. But if teams are going to go 2 for $60 or 3 for $100, like Sam Darnold just got for a guy with 155 attempts, I think that would be very ambitious if that were the cost.
Kyle, always great stuff, my man. You had a little buildup. You were ready to go today. No question about it. Kyle, hang in there. Appreciate you coming on, brother. Have a great new year.
Thanks, guys. You too. Take care.
All right. Kyle Krabs joining us here. Talk a little bit about the Miami Dolphins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy back with you here on FM 104.3 WQAM.
I'm pretty good at this stuff.
What are you talking about, dude?
So, Sid Luckman was not the last quarterback.
For the Bears?
For the Bears.
I've been dying to know.
George Blanda. However, don't we consider George Blanda a Raider?
I don't consider him anything, to be honest with you. I haven't even thought about George Blanda, I think, ever in my life. Respectfully.
You're an ass.
Don't say that, dude. I'm not an ass.
You're an ass.
I just haven't thought about him.
I understand.
You know?
I'm just saying. We were just thinking, who's the last quarterback to make the Hall of Fame?
You were thinking about who was the last quarterback to make the Hall of Fame. I wasn't thinking about that.
Okay.
I had no interest in it. Wasn't a thing for me.
All right.
Man. So here's who's making a stink. So one person is not making a stink, but a stink seems to be being made around them.
Oh, they're in the periphery of a stink?
Right. And I just thought to myself,
while not making a stink firsthand,
right,
they seem to be in the periphery of a stink.
It appears a stench is being made around them. And that is,
can we get a name?
That is one Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, who, of course, quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hit piece that came out against him last week.
Against
Lamar? Him in the Baltimore Sun. And I was like, huh, really?
Wow.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Okay.
Because they were talking about, oh, Lamar, they're at a crossroads with him. Some longtime reporter from Baltimore. I think his name is Mike Preston. And in his piece, he's like, oh, Lamar Jackson. This is always a favorite. You know how you, when you want to put stink on a quarterback, you know what you say they do, Leroy?
What?
Play video games late at night. You play video games late at night, you can't be a franchise quarterback. So this is like, oh, he plays video games late at night.
What about
falls asleep in meetings?
What about going out and getting drunk?
No, you would be better off partying your ass off as a quarterback, okay. You know, or you know, enjoying the nightlife as a quarterback. You'd be better off doing that than playing video games late at night.
All right.
If you were in the comfort of your own home, are playing Halo too long, you can't beat the Steelers.
Okay.
So this piece is like, oh, he plays video games. He's fallen asleep in meetings. Not a morning person. They have to have practice in the afternoon because Lamar doesn't like morning practice. And then they
morning practice do suck.
Fine. No one's here. I'm just saying what the piece said. They also were like, oh, John Harbaugh has to lie to the media to protect his ego because he'll disassociate. He'll go in a shell.
Mm-hmm. All things that are very accurate with quarterbacks.
But I was like, okay.
Wait. Hmm? We could be having the same conversation, not the video game part, but all the stuff after that. If I take and I say Tua, Mike McDaniel has to protect his feelings. Mike McDaniel has to do this. We just the same thing. Like,
yeah, but
it's the face of your franchise.
One's a two-time MVP.
No, I'm just saying, like, but let's not make it sound like when you have your star player, you aren't accommodating.
Oh, sure.
Right?
But here's the thing. They've already kind of had their – remember when the contract thing was going on, remember?
Yep.
He was free to go on any other team, and nobody wanted Lamar Jackson. Crazy ass.
And then he won MVP after that?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
But here was the interesting thing. Very interesting by one Mike Preston. Let me get the little blurb here. He wrote, the Ravens – should look at possible trades, which could net them 2 or 3 first-round picks. Jackson would love to play in Miami, where quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is no longer the starter,
possibly Las Vegas, where Brady is a partial owner of the Raiders and has shown fondness for him, Baltimore should also draft a young quarterback in the early rounds.
So,
and I got to tell you, Leroy, when I saw Lamar Jackson wants to be down here, of course, South Florida native, I got to tell you, it was around Christmas, I think the story came out, and it felt like a Christmas miracle to me. It felt like Santa Claus had dropped off a possibility of all our worries being wiped away.
Pump your brakes.
Why, dude?
Okay. Here's where you and other fans get a little, because there's an 800, there's a 1,200 pound gorilla in the room. You know what that gorilla's name is?
What's that?
74 million.
And?
You got to get around that.
Figure it out.
No, you can't, baby.
We'll figure it out.
Vlad. See, this is why you can't have. He's a child. He's a child.
Figure it out, baby.
How? Give me one solution to fixing it.
I don't know. Figure it out. It's not my job. I want Lamar Jackson.
I'm telling you.
If Lamar Jackson wants me, I want Lamar Jackson.
And you want to give up first round picks? Hold on. You realize that if you give up two or three first round picks,
yeah,
and you give up 74 to 75 million,
yeah,
that you're not going to be as good as the team he just left.
Debatable. We've got some building blocks. Looks like he's got a nice, a solid O-line in front of him all of a sudden. Got a great running back. Maybe Waddle will actually be a number one receiver. And let's not make it first-round picks. What if I put names to it, okay? I'm not saying we trade these names. I'm just saying people get caught up with the picks too much, okay? Let me give you some names. Give you some names.
I think I'm getting ready to check them out.
Let me give you some names along the way.
Go.
If you were to say, would you give up Kenneth Grant, Chop Robinson, Noah Igbinoghene, Deion Jordan? These were all first-round picks. Charles Harris. These were all first-round picks at one point. You put names to them, not as sexy.
Why'd you just skip over Christian Wilkins?
Just the illusion. Well, he's not playing right now. What's going on there?
Yeah. So,
no. By the way, do you trust the Raiders after what happened with Max Crosby? See, Max Crosby's making a stink because they shut him down involuntarily.
Yeah, because he ain't going to reach his numbers.
I just don't think he wanted to be benched. I don't even know if it had to do with numbers.
Maybe they just wanted to protect him.
No, maybe they want to protect the fact that they might have a top two pick.
I kind of feel like that they wanted to protect.
Send him home, they're going to pay him. Like, go enjoy your early offseason.
He needs surgery. Might as well get the surgery now.
Dr. Box said Wilkins on the weird list.
We don't know that he's on the weird list. It's been alleged.
Okay, so here we go.
Why can't you let me have fun?
Stop.
Why can't you let me have fun?
Because that's not fun.
It is fun.
It's not.
Lamar Jackson would be fun.
Yes, but the reality of it is I don't know if you can make that happen and still have a team that's going to be competitive.
Ah, come on.
That's a conversation. That's a conversation. This is meaningful. Everybody gets mad at me. That's your meaningful conversation. That's your meaningful back and forth.
Why can't we let Steven
Ross? You know what? I'm having to try to break it down. I was like, okay, these are things that have to happen. Come on. That's it. That's his response.
No, come on, dude. Let's have some fun.
That's the name of the
That's not
way.
Fun.
It is fun.
You think it's fun, but it would be miserable.
No way, dude.
Dude.
Having Lamar Jackson, you can tell me a lot of things you can't tell me, it would be miserable.
Dude, if you don't have any players around him, you'd be miserable.
We got players.
No, you don't.
We got players.
No, you don't.
Make it happen.
Now, would you have to get rid of?
We got Cheetah on the cheapskies, okay?
You're making assumptions.
I'm putting a plan in place.
You can't. Here. Let's not assume all of the chain reaction things so you can get what you want.
I'm putting a blueprint together for Steven Ross.
Okay, give me it. Let's hear your blueprint.
Okay, here's the blueprint. We call up the Ravens and be like, saw that hit piece you put on him. You know, Steven Ross has always wanted him. You know, that's been rumored. Steven Ross wanted to draft him on draft night. And Steven Ross, you know what he's done, Leroy? Steven Ross has sat on his hands idly by, and he's watched a lot of idiots ruin his great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He watched, he had Bruce Beal ruin Tom Brady, got caught tampering. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's had Brian Flores not want to meet with Tom Brady.
Wait. This explains it all. RVA Richie, thank you, my man. You have a concept of a plan.
I have a concept of a plan. So all I'm saying is Stephen Ross has wanted Lamar Jackson. He's 86 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. That's old, all right? There's old and there's 86-year-old old.
Okay, but if you get rid of all the support staff and you bring in a star quarterback, you're still not going to win.
Support staff? We just give away some picks. No bigs, baby. What do we do? Those picks could end up being busts. Mm-hmm. Think about giving up four first-round busts instead, and I got to guarantee Lamar Jackson, quarterback of your Miami Dolphins. And you're sitting here telling me that you're not interested in that?
No.
You wouldn't be a little
intrigued? Not until you tell me what you're going to do with the $75
million. I don't know about the money. I'm not good at that. I don't know, but
that's the most important thing.
He gets what he deserves. You know, he's
no, I'm telling you, he's making $75
million. Yeah, pay him. Pay him his money.
Okay.
Can we do a swapskies with the Tua contract? They take that on, and then they can cut him after a year?
Dude.
That's what the picks are for.
Hey. Do understand, you're going to lose $75 million of your cap and first rounders.
Dude, our cap's already sunk. Cap's damage is done.
So you think adding another $50 million to it or $30 million to it is going to make it better?
No, I think adding Lamar Jackson is going to make it better. Why doesn't Stephen Ross get to have some fun every once in a while? All right? They didn't let him get Jim Harbaugh. They didn't let him tamper. They didn't let him get Tom Brady. He's wanted Lamar Jackson. He wanted to draft Lamar Jackson.
I literally.
What?
Can I just tell you, this reminds me of a story at Publix.
Do tell.
When my daughter was younger, it was around Thanksgiving, we go into Publix. Right? And she approached something very similar to you. Because you know they have that section in the front.
Oh, the eye
candy. Daddy, I want the gummy bears right there. Those aren't gummy bears. I want those gummy bears. Those aren't gummy bears. Those are the little fruits that you put in fruitcake. They're not sweet.
Jujubes?
I don't know what they are. They're disgusting.
Okay.
Okay? I said, let's go on aisle three. I'll get you some actual gummy bears. I want those gummy bears. So I'm fighting with my daughter in Publix, knowing damn well she doesn't want.
So you saying Tobin's a 10-year-old girl?
Child.
Okay.
A child.
Okay.
He is. Because all you see is the end result. You don't see how to get there. Okay. And then that means that.
I am seeing how to get there. We'll make it happen. We'll give it the next step.
No, we may. That's. Dude, you don't realize how much you're going to hamstring your team. You know, you need two people to restructure.
They don't want him anymore. Why put out hit pieces like this if you wanted him around? Somebody wants to leak Lamar Jackson is lazy, and I don't like it.
So are you saying, Tobin? All right, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to join you. I'm going to join you.
Not the same Lamar Jackson, better than those gummy bears.
I'm going to join your side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Could it be that somebody's putting this piece out so that the Ravens have to make a selection between John Harbaugh or Lamar Jackson?
Perhaps it could be the Harbaugh camp is because it seems like Harbaugh could be on the outs and that they're coming to the conclusion.
Oh. So basically you're saying we want your coach or your quarterback?
Yes.
Because that's what Miami, that's what I'm saying.
You would rather the coach?
No.
You'd rather the quarterback?
I'd rather the quarterback. The coach.
Have you seen
I'd rather Lamar Jackson be a player coach than John Harbaugh.
Have you seen the Carfax on your quarterback? That
Carfax, every quarterback you're going to get is going to be a little banged up, baby.
Dude, see, Vlad.
Every one of them.
This is why you can't have real conversations with
him. Hamstring pull this year. No bigs.
All you see is the gummy bears.
No.
You don't know that they're gummy bears for fruitcake.
He's going to be fine.
They're not gummy bears for personal enjoyment.
Science has done wonders.
You're a fruitcake gummy bear guy.
I'm not a fruitcake gummy bear guy. I'm not, dude. I'm telling you.
You're Faribo.
Dude, I'm telling you. Dude, I'm not here. I am not disparaging anybody who wants Lamar Jackson.
Sounds
I'm
like
not.
Disparaging me.
But in order to want something like that, you do have to understand what it would take to actually get him before you make a decision. It can't just be like, I don't care. Because you know what you're going to say next year? Lamar Jackson, he lost it.
I don't think he did lose it.
He's been banged up last couple years.
Great, fewer picks to give up.
No. Good. You're already saying two or three first rounders.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
How is that fewer?
Whatever it takes.
So let me get this straight. You're willing to give up two or three first round picks for $75 million contract and a guy who hasn't played full season in 3 years.
No, that's not true.
He didn't play all the games last year.
What, he missed one game?
He's missed as many games as two has missed over the last 3 years.
Nah,
bro.
He's been more durable.
No, he hasn't. Dude, you are crazy. See, this is the thing you overlook. Let's not overlook the facts so you can get what you want.
I want him.
Fruitcake gummy bear guy versus aisle five. Can we just walk down aisle five and let you see, you know, different scenarios that maybe not involve these?
All right, great. What are you going to show me? Ewers? That's delicious.
No.
Let's go. He's mixed six games in 2022.
Uh-huh.
Missed five games in 2021, and he's missed.
See, that's a long time ago.
He's missed three games this season.
Okay, what about the years between that? This is like
He missed one game in 2019 for rest, missed one game in 2020 because of COVID, missed five games in 2021. Ankle sprain illness, missed six games in 2022, PCL sprain in knee, 2023, no games missed, 2024, one game rest, and then this year, three games with a hamstring and a back contusion.
Sounds like he's been...
Hamstring and back contusion?
Sounds like he's turned that around. Couple years, solid. Dude,
seems like the last 3 years
he's been banged up. Can I just... And I'm not... Wow. I hate looking at the chat.
Why?
Because I just looked over at a quick glance just to see what streets are saying.
Mm-hmm.
That white guy that Michigan hired, impressive. That was the first.
Kyle Whittingham.
Dude.
Yeah. He's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, the problem is I'm not discouraging you from wanting him.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have real talk about what it's going to take.
Discourage everything that I want. If I told you,
because you don't never understand the real talk of what it's going to take to get him, or what it's going to cost your team.
If I want,
that's the part you overlook.
Okay, so if
the most important aspects of it.
If I wanted to trade up three first round picks to go get Fernando Mendoza, you'd yell at me for that too.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you're not just a quarterback away.
You're not.
No, you're not.
This quarterback was terrible.
And. Name a time that a team has traded multiple draft picks to move up in the draft and get a guy and it's paid off.
How many they give up for Josh Allen to move up for him?
Swap picks and one pick next year. That's it.
That's multiple picks.
No, it's not.
That's multiple picks.
No, it's not.
No, you're swapping.
You're swapping.
It's not multiple.
You just said
technically,
it's a swap.
Technically, it's only for one.
That's two first-round picks.
No, it's... Goodbye. I'm... Like, dude, please, can you... This is why we can't have a conversation. This
you don't ever want to have any conversations of consequence.
No, I want
we
you...
We can't sit here idly by.
I want you to be real about what
I
you're asking.
I am being real.
Okay, how are you going to make it happen?
All right. We're going to restructure the contract.
Whose contract?
You can't restructure it.
We can restructure
Whose contract?
Let me ask you a question. If your boss came and said, we're giving you a lot of money that is guaranteed next year, why don't you restructure it? You're going to say, hell no.
But whose contract you're restructuring?
Lamar's. We're going to make him, we'll give him his money.
He wants more.
Oh, give him more. That's fine. Vlad, he deserves it.
He wants $65 million.
He should get that.
Okay, so you're going to give him $65
I would just
even though you owe $99 to
two? I would just like you to have a reasonable conversation.
Do you realize how much money that he sold a piece of the Dolphins for? Why are you worried about Stephen Ross's pockets? He don't care.
Salary cap.
Clearly you don't.
It's not.
He don't care.
He may not care about the money, but the salary cap
the
is
The damage
real.
Is done on the salary cap.
No, it's not.
It's done. It's already been done.
So what are you saying?
Fix
just
it.
Blow it. Blow over it.
We'll figure it out. That's not my job.
I'm asking. See, this is what he does, Vlad. This is what I want. Let's make it do.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to fix it? Not my job.
It's not my job.
It's not your job to pick talent either.
Leroy, when it's not your money, it's not your job.
It's not my job. And he doesn't care about the money.
But I'm trying to.
Why do you care about his money?
It's not that I care about the money. Here's what I care about. I care about the lasting effects of farming, getting rid of everything, or the farming the system, or doing
We've
all that.
We've had the bevy of picks. That didn't work either.
Huh?
We've had the bevy of picks. Didn't work either.
I mean, last...
We tried your way. Now try my way.
Do you understand? If you get a quarterback and don't have talent around him, he's not going to be very...
Talent. He's got some talent. He's got Achane. Got to pay Achane, too. Got a problem with that?
No.
He doesn't deserve his money?
I didn't say... See? Dude. Like, I just hate,
you just don't let me have fun.
He broke you down, Leroy. He broke
you
down.
No, it's just, you know, can I just tell you, Vlad, it's a stupid conversation.
I get it.
And this is stupid.
But you know who
And I just, and so I'm done.
But Leroy, you know who you've
been. I don't want to win.
It is.
I don't
want to
win.
You won. You won. You broke him down.
It's stupid.
You broke him down.
It's not stupid. You know what? You know what? For once, mm-hmm. I would like to have a conversation with you where you're not a child.
Okay, dude. That's
that will never happen. Come on.
It never happened.
Well,
you've
ask
been
you this.
With him nearly a
All
decade.
Right, let me have an adult conversation with you. Let me have an adult conversation.
No.
If the money,
Can we go to
if
break? The, no, it's no, break no. time.
It's not break time. I mean, technically, it's break time.
Yeah, it's break time. You're a child. You're a child. I want it. You want
if the
You
money
want
was...
the gummy bears, fruitcake gummy bears.
No, no, no.
That's I mean, what you no, want. Okay. You don't care.
If the money
I want the gummy bears.
For Rebo.
I'll figure it out.
Listen.
I'll figure out what they taste like after I get them.
Choose what you're scared of, though. Are you scared of the money or are you scared of the player? So if the money wasn't an issue, you could make the money work. Would you want Lamar Jackson? Would you trade for Lamar Jackson?
Here's the part that scares me the most. And teams don't look into this enough. If you have to give up too many assets for one player, that player doesn't have the resources around him to win. And for you to just make the assumption, oh, I'll just go get more players. Oh, I'll pay somebody. It doesn't work that way. It never has.
Cheat on the cheapskies. Okay.
You're making an assumption.
He's got new Mark Andrews down here in Dulcich.
You're making – look, so
new
now
Mark
he's
Andrews?
Trying
to You're making up weapons for Trump
yes.
so that he can come right.
2 seconds ago, he didn't even know who Dulce de Leche was. And now all of a sudden, he's a Hall of Famer.
He's new Mark Andrews.
What's his name? Dulce de Leche?
Oh, my God.
Dulce de Leche.
Oh. Dr. Toboggan says, don't sleep on the weasel. Imagine weasel.
The weasel. Like, wait. Last week, you wanted to escort him off the property.
Oh, you didn't even know if he was an intangible or not.
Hey, wait. See, I know. You guys too young to remember the Herschel Walker trade?
And?
It didn't work.
Wait a minute.
Running back.
You gave up a whole bunch. Well, how about the Ricky Williams trade?
It wasn't the fact. Everybody forgets the Herschel Walker trade. The only reason why it worked is because they traded them players. And they didn't re-sign none of those players because they didn't keep none of the players that was traded
yeah,
for Herschel.
Them.
They got draft picks for them.
Right.
Yeah. That's a different time.
Draft picks. So it's the same. I mean, look, if you didn't re-sign those players, it's the equivalent to trading for draft picks.
Also like how he says you guys are too young to remember the Herschel Walker trade when Leroy was in the draft with his replacement.
It's true.
Take a break. Back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.